All right, so good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to call the June 2nd True Commission meeting to order. If we can start by everyone introducing themselves for the record. To my left.
Tommy Carter, Council Auditor's Office.
Daniel Henry, City Council President.
Jeff Clements, Council Research. Get a green light.
All right, since we're missing one member from a quorum, we are going to forgo approval of the minutes and go straight to item number 3 of the public comment section. Mr. Nooney, go ahead. You have 3 minutes.
All right. Oops. All right. Now it's working. All right. My name is John Nooney. Name and address is on file. And thank you for public comment. And, there's just a couple of things. You know, I'm just going to kind of read what I have here on the speaker card and then just go on. But, you know, our charter has been gutted. You know, and I'll read ordinance numbers 2014-769, 2015-765. I came here about FINE. That's the Florida Inland Navigation District, 2021-0075, 2022-0035. You know, the public was completely shut out, and you can pull the tapes on that. And by that, I'm talking about, you know, the restoration of public participation 2017-160 to the Jacksonville City Council Legislative Committee process. And according to Carl Miller, right before her retirement, it was Jason Gabriel with OGC and the only that took away public participation. That is before a vote is taken by a board commission, you know, on any piece of legislation. And so according to Carl, the only one that can restore it is the Attorney General of the State of Florida or the State Attorney of the Fourth Judicial Circuit. So, you know, I'm just appealing to the True Commission to restore the public trust. The True Commission should investigate the FINE projects. You know, Pottsburg Creek is a massive cover-up. You know, I talk about the 3,000 block of Parental Home Road, EPB and EQD. You know, these are millions and millions of dollars. The Florida Inland Navigation District, that's our ad valorem property taxes. And so the disbursement of those funds year after year after year, you know, it's just crushing. 2013-380 was the Maritime Management Plan. And so now there are projects that, according to the Maritime Management Plan, are being introduced and utilized in these FINE projects, but no public input. In other words, I haven't been able to participate at all. So that's why the True Commission should investigate and look into the waterways and the disbursements of these particular funds. And so anyway, you know, again, you know, it's why, you know, someone said, have you ever gone to the True Commission? And that's why I'm here. And, you know, when you talk about CPACs, you know, I'm in CPAC 3. And, you know, right now I reside on Pottsburg Creek, and there are just dozens of examples where I feel like the True Commission should come in and investigate. In other words, later this month, you know, just a couple of weeks, there's over $500,000, you know, for Pottsburg Creek. You know, that project should be rejected immediately. You know, Al Ferraro created legislation that any of these FINE projects, if not approved, will revert back to a fund, you know, that will then go to water-related projects. So my time is about up, and again, I appeal to you to investigate, you know, where the money's going on these water-related issues, and also to restore public participation, you know, before a vote is taken by any board commission, you know, on any piece of action that you happen to be voting on. And thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Nooney. Appreciate it. All right. Why don't we go straight into the auditor's report?
Go through the chair to the commission. Council Auditor's Office has released 2 reports since the last True Commission meeting. Report number 858, the Independent Agency Quarterly Summary for the 6 months ended March 31st, 2022, excuse me, was released on May 13th of 2022. And then report number 859, the Duval County property appraiser audit, was released on May 31st, 2022. For the independent agency quarterly summary, 6 months ending March 31, this is the 6 month quarterly summary. For the independent agencies, the city again did not submit the second quarter report as they are working on the 2021 year end audit and as well as still system issues. The last quarterly summary report we have received from the city was as of September 30th of 2020. Specifically for JEA, all systems project a balanced budget at year end. However, JEA is projecting to exceed its appropriation authority approved by City Council for the electric system by $164 million, mainly due to the rising fuel costs, which will be passed on to customers through customer billings. If this holds true, City Council approval will be needed for them exceeding their appropriation authority. Also, JEA is planning to utilize operational savings and additional base rate revenues to enhance funding for capital projects on the electric side. JEA is also projecting to exceed its appropriation authority approved by City Council for the water and wastewater system by $13 million due to additional revenue above budget, and council approval will be needed there as well. The additional revenues and operational savings will be used to fund additional capital projects for future expansion of the water and wastewater system. Also noted, JEA had several bond issuances that were upgraded this quarter by Moody's. JTA, all divisions are projected a balanced budget at year end. The general fund engineering division projects an overall favorable budget variance surplus of $10.8 million, and that's due to the sale of surplus property. We mentioned in our report that JTA needed to file its budget amendment for fiscal year 2021 for the bus, skyway, and general fund divisions. I will note that they have since filed that legislation to amend their 2021 budget. Also, related to COVID funding, JTA has received a total of $128,550,902, and they've received $36.8 million in CARES Act funding, $33.7 million in the CARISA, and $57.9 million in the American Recovery Plan monies. For JPA, there was no budget stress projected at year end. They're projecting a surplus of anticipated of $2.3 million. This is anticipated even with an unbudgeted termination fee of over $4 million, and that was for the early redemption of debt to allow another tenant to take over the MOL terminal, which caused an overall deficit of $2.5 million at the end of the second quarter. Even though they've had this deficit, they're still projecting a $2.3 million year-end surplus. For JAA, JAA is projecting an overall surplus at year-end of approximately $26.9 million due to additional operating revenue above budget and car rentals and passenger facility, parking along with above budget and car rentals and parking along with passenger facility charges. And they also had received COVID funding of approximately $7.8 million. This overall surplus is projected even with they have negative variances in $5.1 million in debt service related to additional debt issued for the Boeing project and about $1.2 million in salaries related to the issue last quarter of the COLAs being above budget and then the reinstatement of the employee incentive plan. So even with those negative variances, they're projecting an overall surplus. Anybody have any questions on the quarterly summary?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I had a question. Why did they end up spending additional money on the people? About $3 million? Sorry. About 0.7 tenths of a million. $750,000. Thing never gets used for much anyway. Why would...
Is this for the budget amendment?
No.
Or for fiscal year 21?
Right. Well, this is for the bill was introduced on this.
Yes.
That it said that they over about.
Okay, that was as of year end for 9/30/21. That was due to maintenance cost and keeping the cars running. I mean, even though nobody pays a fee, the cars run and people can ride them. So
why would it be above the amount budgeted originally?
There were additional maintenance costs. They run into the problem of those cars are having run into the problem of obsolescent parts. Parts are getting obsolete for that system. So they run into that, and as the system ages, the system has more maintenance.
COVID cleaning.
COVID cleaning, thank you.
Excessive number of
living? I don't know that.
What I mean.
I don't know about that. Riding, I haven't seen a ridership number, so I'm not sure. That was for 9/30/21, yes.
Have they, two questions. Has JTA introduced, does that bill that that Mr. Roberts is speaking to cure the overage that they had in spending in the busing division as well?
Our system, JTA, yes. They submitted a budget amendment for bus, Skyway, so they're
okay. And then the second question, for the quarterly summaries from the city and from the Jacksonville Housing Finance Authority, it's a two-part question. I understand why the city is still having issues with the quarterly summaries, but I was curious to see why the Housing Finance Authority is also coupled with that same issue. Like, do they do the financials jointly, or is there a reason why that's delayed as well?
They have, in the past, they've coupled and submitted it. It's come from the cities.
And when Mr. Grivey says that, quote, because of implementation of the city's financial system and COVID-19 staffing impacts causing the delays, it's the same boilerplate language that we've been saying for 2 years, but... That being said, he says that after the submission of the annual comprehensive financial report is completed, then they would be able to focus on the quarterly reporting. How many quarters are they currently behind?
They haven't filed a quarterly summary since 9/30. All of 21.
So when he says that they'll be able to focus on the quarterly reporting after the annual comprehensive financial report is completed, is he speaking to what amount of reports is he speaking to? The whole enchilada, all of it, or?
They probably would not try to give us reports in arrears. I wouldn't think where the city is at that time, as well as so it would kind of be after the fact. I mean, they could probably give us a report showing what it was. Report would be due July 30th.
But they didn't provide one of those last year for the third quarter. So this will be the second year that council will be going into budget year without quarterly summaries to get an idea as to how spending was during the fiscal year.
Especially the second quarter, because that's budget or will already be presented by the time we get to March deadline is what we
do. Do you know how the Mr. Grivey's department and the budget office compensate for that when they're presenting the budget to the finance committee? You know how they did it last year?
I just know that the budget was presented last year. I'm not sure how or what it was done, what they did. They did get the budget together. That would be more of a budget office question. So I'm not sure.
Jeff, do you remember at all? From your, I know I'm testing your memory recall.
No, I don't recall there being any discussion in the finance committee last year about the lack of quarterly reports. I mean, they clearly project revenues and expenses based on whatever information they have at hand. Presume they were producing some kind of internal reports that they could look at, or at least, you know, projecting trends as best they could. So the auditor's office weighs in at the very beginning of the budget hearing process on their estimates of what the sales tax and the gas tax might be expected to generate. They independently look at state figures and the history of what's been reported so far during the fiscal year. And sometimes they suggest a little higher, a little lower than what the administration has proposed in the budget. But typically it's just for those sales tax, gas tax, maybe state shared revenues of other kinds, the insurance tax or whatever, where they can look at the state's database, the State Department of Revenue's database of what's been collected, and kind of project from there.
We have a little bit of an advantage. More time has passed from when the budget was prepared. From the state. So that can affect, you know, whether we make a suggestion.
Okay.
Based on getting some more actual data in. I necessarily system.
No, I get that. I just get worried about the expense side because they basically have to kind of take their word for it that the way that they spent for the previous year would be in line with whatever increase they're requesting, and they won't be able to kind of see any kind of spending patterns for the year that the quarterly summaries provide. I don't know whether or not they used them in previous years. But I imagine that that's a deficiency that they kind of have to grapple with.
Well, I mean, we'll have the system's general ledger seeing. Important part of the one, it gives a good snapshot of what city's current financial situation is, and the projections as to
in the preparation of the budget, say for this year, did the people that prepare the budget have access to the revenues and the expenditures the preceding year?
Well, each department submits their budget to the budget office.
Okay.
So well, they would have.
The people that submit a budget for a given department, do they have access to their expenditures for the preceding year, revenues for the preceding year?
They would have what's in the system.
But this does not necessarily depend upon any quarterly reports, does it? Okay, so the
preparation of the budget, no, sir.
Independent of those.
That was all I had.
Okay. On that one. I'll move to the second audit, the Duval County Property Appraiser Audit. As I reported, this report was released on May 31st of 2022. We performed this review. This is a constitutional officer. So pursuant to section 102.118 of the municipal code, we're to audit constitutional officers, be audited by the council, by our office at least once every 5 years. We specifically looked at is the property appraiser's office is responsible for inspecting parcels at least once every 5 years as required by Florida statute. And then we also look to see if the property appraiser is also responsible for physically inspecting the completed work of permits that were issued for parcels within Duval County, and specifically those permits that will change the assessed value of the property. Overall, we found that properties on the 2021 certified tax roll were inspected at least once in the last 5 years in accordance with the Florida statutes, and property value changing permits issued in 2020 with work substantially completed before January 1 of 2021 were properly reflected on the 2021 certified tax rolls. We noted some internal control weaknesses. Some employees had access to create and change permit details in the appraisal system, even though they did not need access based on their duties. And a query used to determine whether an inspection was completed of all parcels within the last 5 years did not include condominiums. Property appraiser's office employees could edit their own property values in the appraisal system. The property appraiser's office adjusts users' access rights so that they no longer have editing capabilities for the permit. The property appraiser's office removed the language that excluded condominiums from the query utilized to verify that all parcels had an inspection 5 years. Also, we recommended the property appraiser's annually review changes in taxable and assessed values of parcels owned by employees to verify that they are being handled appropriately. Um, questions so far. There were objective one, we found that 44 out of 109 users did not need access to permits. Property appraiser supported our recommendation and agreed with us. For opportunity for improvement on the additional quality control measures regarding having someone, you know, look at the that recommendation. And the with the 5-year compliance, especially we found that 22 out of 376,000 properties were not flagged as having the property values had been updated, and the other condominiums in the building had been marked as having inspections. So properties were being reviewed by the property's appraiser's office, but the employee did not mark the review as being performed. Overall, it was a questions.
When you said that the, I'm sorry, did anyone have any questions on?
No, condominium sector is a pretty big sector.
But it's found that well, this was just basically for the search of the to ensure compliance with the Florida statutes. The property appraiser's office uses a query that checks each property in the appraisal system and returns any properties that will not have had an aerial or physical inspection in the last 5 years. For example, if the query was run in November 2020, it would return properties that would be out of compliance on January 1, 2021. Through discussions with the property appraiser's office, we found that the query language excluded condominiums from the research, from its search. As a result, any condominiums out of compliance would not be flagged by the query. We only found 22 properties tested that were not flagged as not having a aerial physical inspection. So they were being, including them, they were still being either physically inspected or condominiums. So we were able to confirm that property values had been updated and the other condominiums in the building had been marked as having an aerial inspection. So properties were reviewed by the property appraiser's office. We found that language in the query had move the language that excluded it, and they should use the query to ensure all properties are properly being included in the query to help ensure compliance with the Florida statute.
They're fixing the query then.
They fixed the query, yes.
The only question I had was the portion when you said that employees could edit their own property values in the appraiser system. Was there any kind of audit to just determine if that actually did happen? Not to say that it did, but I don't like to impugn people.
We as a note, the appraiser system has an audit trail that tracks changes to the system. Appropriate manipulation of the system. So it says here we reviewed a report the property appraisers created to identify change in property and values of property appraiser employees and verified there did not appear to be any issues.
Okay. What about, is there any way to check if they did it for like a friend or a relative? I'll rephrase it this way because that's unfair. Is there any reason why a employee would change the value of a assessed value of a home outside of the yearly assessment that's done?
I don't know of any.
I was just curious to see how they test against that.
So.
Okay. My question for that one.
That concludes my report.
All right. Any other questions for Mr. Carter? All right. Thanks, Tommy. All right. Next item that we have on the agenda is committee reports. So, Mr. Roberts, do you want to cover bills that you have of great interest in the bill summary?
Actually, since the majority and everything else is kind of strewn along the way. Some of particular interest, Bill 399, that was a bill to allow the city to participate in this whole Walgreens settlement. The Walgreens settlement involves a lawsuit over opioid use. So that is certainly an important one. 402 is a matter of the JTA overruns, and I see that $2.3 million was roughly put to the general operating fund. Skyway at about $750,000, and the general fund about $500,000, total about $3.5 million. Wonder, you know, I was in Detroit last week. They have don't think it amounts to anything. And ours hasn't done anything particular. Number 405, I think, may be rather important. Well, the Department of Economic Development, when they make a deal, only specifies that they will add so many people to the payroll. The reason that's important to the city is that these people become taxpayers in the city. They will contribute revenue and they will purchase stuff in the city. Well, Bill 405 proposes that they can live outside of Jacksonville, that they can live any place in the five-county area that comprises the Jacksonville metropolitan area. It's kind of a statistical animal that the Department of Labor uses. This means that these people, should they live in outside Duval County, won't contribute anything. So I feel rather badly about that. Hope the thing dies a natural death. Another one has to do. Well, there was something put in that a couple of seats will be up for election. I don't know whether you all are acquainted or not, but
District 7 and District 9.
Yeah, Councilman Gaffney and Councilman Dennis.
And now Sheriff.
What's that they're going to resign and run for other higher office. There was something was provided an abortion travel expense of $4,000. Abortion services are not available within 100 miles. Under this, the city would provide travel expense up to $4,000 to go someplace else.
That was to city employees, correct?
I'm sorry?
That specifically meant the city employees, correct? If I'm not mistaken on that one.
Oh, that's for the city of Jacksonville.
No, the benefit was for city
the
employees.
The benefit was for city employees,
yeah,
yes.
City employees. Yeah, employees. It's not a general benefit public. For taxpayers. That's really all I have. Something that does concern me, I don't know if this is the right time to raise it or not, is the Department of Economic Development. I'm unable to, they make a lot of deals, and I'm not unable to find out how these deals are progressing. Some, I guess, are on schedule. Others, I guess, are behind schedule. And some have just plain flopped. I tried to find out what kind of annual report they put together, and this is what I've had.
Thank you.
Look on page 13. That's the only mention I really find. I'm told that this is their annual report.
One page.
Now, if that's the sole sum of their annual report, something has to be done about it.
So, it looks like it covers other agencies. What is the overall report for?
Well, the overall report kind of aims at departments.
How did you find it?
I asked Jeff to get me one.
Jeff, can you enlighten us? Additional details regarding the report at all?
I cannot.
So is this like something that gets like published every year or?
Every year, I had one for 20 and this one for 21.
So, other than, if I remember correctly, if you can find it, that's the catalog. If you can find the page on the city website, isn't there a page that is dedicated for economic development and it shows all the projects that have gone through the office, or am I imagining that?
I believe there is.
A question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Doesn't each one of these particular items that they've entered into, isn't there an authority or someone who is logged or who is supposed to carry on and follow up?
Okay.
Isn't there someone who's assigned as oversight?
Yes.
For each of these projects?
What the Office of Economic Development does is every year they send out basically a questionnaire to everybody who gets a city incentive. And there's probably 10 or 12 questions on there. You promised to create 400 new jobs. How many jobs have you created? You promised that they would pay an average salary of $65,000. What's the average salary of those new positions? You said you were going to, make a capital investment of $122 million. Is your project completed? If not, how far along are you? How much have you invested to date? That kind of thing. So it's basically a progress report. this is
you know how much the agreement provided for. Tell us how you're doing on reaching the commitments that you made. Those come back every year into the Office of Economic Development so that they can keep track of how things are going.
But does someone follow up on that, what they report back, to see if actually the facts and figures that they provide are what's happening? And if so, where's that report go to? Where's the, I mean, I assume it's public knowledge, whatever their agreements are and whatever their, you know, so does the person or the organization with oversight, do they send people out to actually physically find out what's going on?
That I do not know.
Because that one-page report doesn't say anything. We did this, but where's it at? What's it doing? And did it actually? There's none of that. Somewhere somebody must have that information available if it's public knowledge. So where is it available at? That's, you know, and who's the oversight?
Well, what I can tell you is that I know they send these forms out every year to everybody who got an incentive of some kind, and they're supposed to send them back. If they don't, I have no knowledge of what happens if they don't. I don't know if OED goes and double checks them, if they, you know, cross tabulate their, what they report on that form with something from the state, corporate tax division or whatever, where they might provide a report that talks about how many employees they have or what their total payroll is. I don't know anything about how that end of the business works.
Who would you find out from?
Probably Kirk Wendland, who's the head of the Office of Economic Development.
Has the audit department ever taken a look at the record?
There's been audits.
Been audits? When was the last one? Do you know roughly?
Off the top of my head, I don't.
A question on a couple of bills. I had mentioned Jeff earlier, 403 and 404. There's a type of action, approval of certificate of public convenience and necessity, and both of them are concerning companies wanting to come into town to crush up concrete, basically. They use concrete and crush it up and get rid of it and whatever. One's proposing to accept up to 910 tons of clean debris daily, and they put mainly concrete. And the other one is proposing to accept up to 5,000 tons per day of clean debris, mainly concrete, which comes out to a rather astounding number. 6,000 tons of concrete a year, basically, a day rather, which blows my mind that we would have that much concrete or whatever. My big concern, too, is one is the dust. I'm sure there's stuff in there, all the pursuant to these different rules, but who has the oversight to make sure that what is coming in that they say is clean debris, having worked with the city and in solid waste department, also private sector solid waste prior to that. Whatever's in a dumpster comes in is in. They clean debris, yeah, they're supposed to be making sure that there's not anything other than what they're stated in is coming in. But is there anybody an oversight, somebody has oversight to make sure that they are processing only the clean debris and what that clean debris is and what they're doing with what comes in that isn't clean debris? Because I know some of them, the stuff that used to come into the demolition place, the demolition on a place over on Kings Road, there was all kinds of plain garbage coming in because these dumpsters come from all over the work sites all over the city that get dumped there, and it's supposed to be demolition and mainly demolition and construction debris, but there are just who knows what gets dumped in those containers when they're sitting in a big subdivision workspace over the weekend that somebody doesn't have room to put their mattress out or their furniture, and they just go dump it in these dumpsters. So is there somebody doing, is there, nobody in here I see anything about oversight to who's responsible for making sure that debris is clean?
That's another one that's beyond my area of expertise. I presume that the certificate gives the city inspection rights. And so it could be that somebody from the Environmental Quality Division goes out and kind of spot checks these places, but I don't know anything about who or how often or whether they do or not.
Tonnage figures are awfully
high. Aren't they? I mean, I just...
I think of, you know, train loads, 10,000 tons of the... And I just can't imagine a place processing.
One of the locations on the north McDuff is just across the catty corner, across where McDuff makes the 90-degree turn up by the rail yards. And it actually looks like it from my GPS looking on the map. It's located basically right on a rail yard. I mean, right on a rail access. So it might be a loading zone or something there. I don't know. The other one's on Talleyrand Avenue, up in Talleyrand area. That's the one that's going to be processing, except 5,000 tons of clean debris per day. I mean, that's a lot. That's a huge amount of traffic to get it there, as well.
That's another thing. Can't haul more than maybe 30 tons in the truck. At 10,000 tons, you'd have a regular parade.
And I know what the damage they do to the roads of those big trucks, because right now there are some major construction projects going on Old Middleburg Road South. There's no less than 100 dump trucks, huge three rear axle dump trucks a day go down Old Middleburg Road, and you can see the edges of the road all getting broke off and cracks in them. Of course, I know they're going to redo that road, but the amount of traffic. Those are issues that I would see, and I just wondered who has the oversight. I mean, they get recommendations from the planning director, the planning development, chief of solid waste, chief of environmental quality, and the Florida Department of Health. So one of those ought to be assigned as an oversight, I would think.
And they may very well be. I just don't have any knowledge of how it works.
A lot of these will say, when they get those, they'll say who has the oversight right in the bill we get, you know, the bill summary, but those two didn't. So my concerns on those two. It's the tonnage and who has oversight to make sure that what is supposed to be in there is it, and what isn't, what's done with it. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a great point to put up. Anything else you want to cover? Okay.
Train load and a half is going to create an awful lot.
It will. Gosh, Jacksonville is always remaining interesting. All right. So, Chair's comments. The only thing that I wanted to cover in my report, Jeff, I saw your exchange that you were having with Ken regarding when he would be possibly able to join us for a meeting or a representative to talk about the user access. Yes. Is there an update you wanted to give on that?
I ran into Joey Grivey in the hall this morning.
You always meet him in the hallway.
He's walking around talking to council members, I guess. Or we meet at lunchtime coming in and out of City Hall. He said that they will come and make a presentation to us about that subject. He said it's sort of multifaceted. They want to make sure they get it all right. They are talking about changing some policies. And he said, how about July? And I told him that we'll not be meeting in July, but we'll meet the first week of August. He said, oh, that's perfect. So we can look for either him or Ken Lathrop from ITD to come and talk to us at the August meeting.
Okay, awesome. That's great to hear. All right, August meeting. Okay. The other things I want to cover, partly because they came up in the auditor's report, is on the annual report that we will be sending to City Council this month. It covers many of the issues and topics that we've discussed this year. One thing I would like to expand upon, if you can, Jeff, is on the second page under the topics discussed at meetings, it's the bullet point that says failure of the Finance and Administration Department to produce quarterly budget summaries for more than a year and a half. If it would be possible for you to express the commission's concern regarding the lack of these reports, to give council members visibility into the city's financials and our concerns regarding how that would affect the creation of the budget. And then in one bullet point, in addition to this topics discussed at meetings, is if you can include our discussions on the JTA budget, I guess it's the right way of saying it, overages or thank you. If you can talk about that one, because that's come up more than once in our meetings this year, that would be great, and express our concern regarding how JTA comes up with its calculations for its budget and whether it needs to reassess how it comes up with its projections to prevent it exceeding its budget authority in the future. Does anyone have any other things that they needed to add to the annual report?
Yes, I'll get to you.
Maybe, I know it's sort of mentioned in one other thing, under membership, but I think there needs to be a bullet in there somewhere, somehow. Ability to really carry out the true meaning of this, the true commission, because we, the lack of membership by those other organizations who are supposed to provide memberships. I don't know how you want to say it nicely, but I mean, really, if you get right down to it, so much more could be done if we had the full membership of 18 people.
Right.
Mentioned on there that you know, what's supposed to be, but we've had many things that we've not been able to do, undertake, because we just don't have the people to do it. That's been discussed more than one time in the year, so put a bullet point in there somehow stating that the absence of the commission members from the city council, the mayor's office, and whoever else was supposed to have it from, that lack of those people are hampering or ability of this commission to do their true job.
You want that in the membership section up at the front, or would you prefer that as a bullet in the topics discussed at meetings?
Preference?
I think so. I think put in bullet in the bullet, bullet in the bullet point.
Okay.
I think it needs to be mentioned in the membership part that there's what they're supposed to have. We're supposed to have, you know, the six seated members. Six from the council president, six from the mayor, you know, and then six from each, one from each of the CPACs. So, you know, that, and all we've got is six from the CPACs, you know, the mayor's office and the city council seem like, to me, it seems like they got it, so I let them take care of it. Somebody ought to be here to assist so we can get the job done we ought to do, what we're supposed to do. A lot of the issues that come up, if we had somebody from the city council or from the mayor's office on the commission, a lot of the information we can have without having to dig through tons of stuff to get it, it would be much better, much easier for it to be able to take on issues and reports on them.
Oh, there are a lot of councils and committees. Problem is not unique.
No, I understand that.
Well, I'm saying that. Find somebody to.
Well, yeah, I know there is, and CPACs are limping along a lot of times. Bullet that, hey, we can't do the job that you want us to do, or say you want us to do, proper people to do it with.
Okay. If we can add that, Jeff, that would be great.
Do.
Any other? Oh, yes. This is kind of irregular, but you were. Go ahead.
I just want to comment.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Nooney. All right. That is the extent of my report. I just want to talk about those two issues. Since we can't formally adopt this, since we don't have a quorum, we'll just think what we were saying earlier, Jeff, is that we're just going to go ahead and submit it, or okay. All right. Commissioner comments. Do either of you have any comments that you'd like to share for the record? How about you, Mr. Roberts? Okay. Then for the first time, we may actually finish within an hour. All right. The next meeting is August the 4th, since we chose to follow the City Council's summer break. So I will see everyone on August the 4th. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.